Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, Canada, and this podcast is a place where we talk about all things kindergarten. I pick a topic for the week, and I share my thoughts, my ideas, and my learning around that topic. I have not made a new podcast episode in quite a few weeks. I'm feeling a little rusty, so hopefully this goes well. I had some pre-recorded episodes that I have been putting out, but in case you do not follow me over on my Instagram, which you should, I'm at Creative Kindergarten Blog on TPT, I had a baby 7 weeks ago now, and so life has been busy with getting to know my newborn and, you know, shifting life into having a baby around. So the podcast has kind of been put on a back burner for a bit, but I'm hoping that we have found a routine and a schedule and that I will be able to continue to put out some new podcast episodes every week, which is usually on Tuesdays. So I'm glad to be back. I'm so happy that you are here and that you are listening. And I put out a Instagram post a few weeks ago talking about this topic that I'm going to be speaking to on this episode, but I wanted to talk about sight words with you all and the vocabulary around sight words and all the things that we are hearing about them. You know, we talk about the science of reading and structured literacy instruction. And when we talk about sight words, like, what does that mean? How did I teach my students some sight words? And what do we need to be doing as educators in order to, you know, meet the needs of our students around these words? So anyways, I'm just going to hop into this week's podcast episode. Hopefully I'm not, again, too rusty and it's not too rambly. We'll get right into it. This week's episode of the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. All right, first of all, before we even start talking about, you know, sight words and all that kind of stuff, let's talk about like the vocabulary around sight words. What is a sight word? Literally, it is a word that you know by sight. So as an adult who, you know, is an avid reader, a lot of the words that I read in a text are going to be sight words to me. So not even just words like the or like, and, can, whatever. Those are sight words for me, but also words like water would be a sight word for me because I don't have to decode it every time I come across it within a text. Most of the words I come across in a text, I don't have to sit there and stretch them out to figure them out. There might be cases when I do have to try to figure out what a word is. Usually that's a word I've never encountered before or a newer word. And I might have to sit there and kind of think through how to read that word and put it within the context of the text I'm reading and figure out what it is. But most of the words I come across in a text are sight words to me. The students that I'm getting in my kindergarten classroom do not usually have a bank of sight words that they recognize by sight alone. Very rarely, I think there have been a few kids that might have some of them, but if they're just learning to recognize a letter as a letter, they're not going to be recognizing words yet. So even though we, you know, I'm including myself in this, even though we talk a lot about sight words and teaching kids sight words and all this kind of stuff, a lot of our students aren't going to have these words as sight words in their brains yet. They're just not going to be able to developmentally be able to recognize these words yet because they're still, you know, learning what a letter is and the sounds of a letter. Instead, what we're usually talking about when we're talking about sight words are high frequency words. So we're teaching our students high frequency words in the hopes that they become sight words. We hope, we not only hope that they become sight words, we want them to become sight words. So a high frequency word are just the words that are exactly that. We come across them frequently in the text that we are reading, like all the time. So words like the, am, I, of, there's all kinds of high frequency words that we come across in the text, and those are the words that we usually are focusing on in our classroom in the hopes of getting them to be sight words. We want them to be sight words so that when students come across them in the text, they're not, you know, every single time they come across the word the in a text, they're not sitting there trying to decode what that word is. We want to build the sight word database in students' minds so that they can build their fluency when they're reading and they're able to, you know, start actually reading the words on the page instead of being stuck on the same words over and over and over again. For me, when I was teaching high frequency words to my kindergarten students, I found a list of the most frequent words in the English language or that come up in texts. There is a book called The Big Book of Lists for Teachers. I'm going to go try to find it. Give me a second and then I will tell you where it is. All right, I found it. It is called The Reading Teacher's Book of Lists. And it's exactly that. It has all kinds of lists listed in the book. And one of the lists, how many times am I going to say the word list, is high frequency instant words. And so I looked at that list and what I did was I picked out the words that are most frequently used in the English language that I wanted to teach my students. So let me turn to the page. It's if you want to, I don't know, get this book, you don't definitely don't need it. It's on page 95 of that book. And it just lists words by frequency. And then it has like them broken down. So words 1 to 25, words 26 to 50. I'll list off the first few words that are the most common in English. The, of, and, a, to, in, is, you, that, it. So those are some of the words that you will come across the most often when you're reading a text. I think when you hear that, you're like, yeah, that sounds about right. And so what I did was I took all those words and I kind of mapped them out so that they correspond to when I'm teaching my students the sounds that correspond to the letters in the word. So like the word in, let's say, I would not teach the high frequency word in until I had taught the sounds for I and N, or else you're not teaching them how to read the word. You're just teaching them how to memorize the word. And we don't want that. We want them to be able to decode the word, to map the word in their brains. And so let's say I'm going to teach them the word in, I would say, okay, today we're going to learn the word in. I hear how many sounds? Eh. And then I would count on my fingers two sounds. And so on my whiteboard, I would write two lines for the two sounds that I heard in the word in. And then I would say, okay, what's the first sound we hear in the word in? Eh, eh. What letter makes that eh sound? And then the kids will say I. I'll write the I. All right, what's the next sound we hear in the word in? In. And then again, I would write the word N, the letter N on the whiteboard, and then we would read it together. I would point to the I, eh, then the N, N, in. So showing them how to decode the word as I'm teaching it to them so that it becomes mapped in their brain. So when they start seeing the word in, and it's going to take more than one repetition of them seeing the word in before it becomes a sight word, they have to be able to practice that over and over again before it becomes a sight word. But eventually, because they've mapped it in their brain, it will become a sight word. So these high frequency words are the ones that I used when I am teaching them to my students. What happens though when we come across a word that is irregular? So an irregular word is one that doesn't follow the letter sound correspondences that we have taught to our students yet. So the first word on this list, the most frequent word in the English language, I'm sure you can guess it, the. Unless you have taught your kids already the digraph TH, the th sound, and you've also taught them like the schwa e e sound, that sound that comes in the second part of the they're not going to be able to decode that word on their own. But it is so frequently used in reading and in their writing, they're going to want to be able to write that word. We still have to teach it to them. And so how do we do that when they don't already have that the letter sound correspondences or the ability to decode that word. And so that is an irregular word. And when we come across irregular words, which hopefully there's not too many, hopefully you're able to teach them a lot of these words when you've taught them the letter sounds. I use the heart word method. There's a lot of information on the heart word method online. You can look it up if that is something that you want to know more about. I will link some articles about it in the show notes for you if you want to learn more. But basically, there are words that you have to know some of the parts by heart. And so when I'm decoding the word the with my students or encoding the word the with my students and we're writing it out, I will put a heart above the sounds that we do not yet know. So for the, it would be both sounds. It would be that TH, the sound, and the E, schwa E, sound that comes at the end. I would put a little heart at the top and I'm going to say, you need to know these parts by heart. So I would use the same method of teaching them how to read and write the word as I did with in. Or put lines on a whiteboard for how many sounds you hear in the word, write down the letters that we hear, that we know, make those sounds on the lines. But if it's an irregular sound that we don't yet know, I put a little red heart above it to make sure that the students know that this isn't something that they're going to be able to decode or encode on their own. There's lots of videos online that show you how to do this and will help you plan your lessons around them. You know, the second word on this list is of, another two sounds that unless like you're not going to teach your students that the O says the sound and the F is saying the voiced V sound of. And so those again are two sounds that they're going to need to know by heart. And so we're going to be teaching that to them using the heart word method. But the next one, and that is not an irregular word. They can just learn how to say it, to read it. Sorry. I'm trying to think two. The O is making an ooh sound again, that the T part will not be a heart part because they'll be able to decode the T sound. It's the O making the ooh sound that they'll need to know by heart. In, they won't need to know it as any regular word. They'll be able to just decode it. Is kind of tricky because the S is making that Z sound, and S does make the Z sound quite frequently within the English language. It is one of the sounds that it makes. It might not be the sound that you've taught your students yet. So it would be a heart word until, you know, maybe in the later years. Or maybe you teach it in kindergarten. I've never taught my students about the S making the Z sound, but it does make the Z sound in a lot of words. So that would be a part that they would need to know by heart. You know, was also does that Z sound at the end of the word with the letter S. So you could kind of group that together with the is if you wanted to, as same thing. So anyways, you would go through your high frequency word list and you would teach them these words, as you're teaching them the letter sound correspondences that go with them. If there is some letter sound correspondences that you have not taught your students yet, I would use the heart word method to help them decode them. I still practice those sight words, I'm calling them sight words, those high frequency words with my students. We go over them. I have my students practice reading them, practice writing them. I have these sight word mini books that my students absolutely loved making. I have them make those sight word books and we send them home so they can practice it with their parents. My students are really adorable. And when we used the heart word method to teach a word, most of the time they start drawing those little hearts on top of the parts of the word that they need to know by heart. It's just a way for, you know, to move that word into their long-term memory so that they've practiced it over and over again. And so they start to recognize it by sight, which is what we want. I will link those sight word mini books in the show notes for you if that's something that you want to check out. But I would teach them a word. I would help them decode it. I would use the heart word method if needed. We would then have some kind of practice for them to at centers for them to read it, to write it, so that it starts becoming a sight word for them. I also reviewed all of the words that we had learned quite frequently in the classroom, just as I reviewed the letter sounds that we had learned. I also review the high frequency words that we had learned as well. So you know, we are starting to teach those high frequency words in our kindergarten classrooms. I don't think I started teaching high frequency words until like October, not even October, probably November by the time I start even teaching words. And I usually start with this, the high frequency word I, just because, you know, it's one letter, it's easy for students to remember. And also it comes up a ton in their writing. So I wanted them to make, I wanted to make sure that they knew about the high frequency word I, and it's just an easy place to start for them. But yeah, you just want to make sure you're reviewing them. I would write those sight words that we had learned on the whiteboard, and then I would put the heart above the parts that we had not learned yet. And then we would practice decoding them so that, again, we're moving those words into the long-term memory so that they become sight words for our students. So it's kind of like an overview of sight words. I know that as a kindergarten educator, I've misused the word sight word so much in my class to mean, like, I find I use them interchangeably. I use sight words and high frequency words really interchangeably when they aren't interchangeable. They become, like, a lot of high frequency words are sight words, but not all sight words are high frequency words. So water is a sight word for me, but it's not a high frequency word. And so we need to be careful with the language that we're using when we're talking about these things, but we want to make sure that we are, you know, being really cognizant of how we are teaching these to our students and being really mindful of the methods that we are using. We don't want to just be using flashcards and just flashing cards at our students all the time and teaching them to memorize a whole bunch of words. We really want to teach them how to decode the words, and that orthographic mapping, how we are helping them decode the words and read the words, that orthographic mapping that is happening in their brains is what is going to help move those words into their long-term memory and to be make them sight words. You know, the flashcard method, again, I have used that memorization tool in the past. So this is not, you know, shaming anybody for doing it. It works for some of our students. That's why, like, I see students that has worked. I've done flashcards with them. I've told families to use flashcards with these students. It worked for a lot of students. And, you know, that just gives you that false sense of like, oh, I'm doing what needs to be done for my students to learn these words. But it doesn't work for all students. And it's those students that, you know, need that very explicit instruction and that decoding and that orthographic mapping and the heart word method. Those are the students that we are targeting for sight words and high frequency words. You know, the kid that's going to learn them by memorizing flashcards is going to learn them either way. So if we can really make sure that we are using methods that will help all students, it's really going to be what, you know, is going to be effective in our classroom as well. So I hope this was helpful. If you have any more questions about sight words, high frequency words, irregular words, the heart word method, whatever it might be, please let me know. You can always find me over on my Instagram. I'm at Creative Kindergarten Blog on TBT. It does sometimes take me a little while to answer, you know, with a new baby. Sometimes I don't get to all of my messages right away, but I'm getting pretty good at it. You can also visit my website, and there's a little contact me form at creativekindergartenblog.com. You can find me there as well. But yeah, let me know, what do you have questions about around sight words? Have you been using the heart word method with your students? And I am saying heart with a T at the end. I feel like it's coming out like as a hard word method, but it's heart word method. I will put all the links for things that I talked about in the show notes so you can find them. Have you been using that in your classroom? Have you been finding it effective? Do you have a different method that you have found effective for teaching high frequency words to your students? I want to know it all. Again, these are just like things that I am learning, and I am learning more about as I learn about the science of reading and structured literacy instruction. So this is where my knowledge is at right now. You know, if that changes over time, if I learn something new, I will keep you guys updated. But for right now, that is where I am at with sight words, high frequency words. What was the other word? Irregular words, heart word method, you know, all that vocabulary around teaching literacy skills to students can become confusing. So I hope that helped clear it up. I hope you have a great day, and I will talk to you all again next time. Bye.